This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour number two of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got an absolutely tremendous hour coming up for you guys. In 15 minutes, we're going to be taking a look at some baseball props. Michaela Bennett, she does great work over at Underdog Fantasy. She's going to be joining me, and we're going to be talking about what she's all liking on the card for Wednesday. If there's been a few teams, a few players in general that she's been feeling a little bit bullish slash bearish on, and just what to make out of this board in general that we've got for Wednesday. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Lots of baseball going to be coming up here in hour number two, as we do have ourselves a very much dog days of summer sort of situation where we've got a lot of baseball. WNBA is putting out a better and better product every single day, so we'll give a little bit of a shout out there. But we got WNBA, you've got baseball, and then you've got some NFL futures aside from some one-off things. Like, we're going to have the hot dog eating contest in the next few weeks. That's fun. And Joey Chestnut is going to be like a 5 billion favorite, but you know what? We do have that as well. So we do have ourselves a lot to take a look at. Unfortunately, the NBA is delivering on the goods of being able to provide something to talk about as well. And we will be addressing that in a second. First things first, something else that has to be addressed is the fact that we've got the best team in the business here at VSiN. They do an amazing job of giving you all the shows that you see slash hear every single day, 19 hours of live programming, 7 days a week. And we've got two amazing men that help set the show up. Adam, he is my producer. He does a great job of making sure that I stay on the, shall we say, focused path. And he does a great job of making sure that I'm keeping my head in the game. And then here on site, we've got Corey, who makes sure that I'm always set up for success. Both of those guys do an absolutely tremendous job. And then this might be the most difficult task here at the network, making myself look halfway presentable in a video slash movie picture format. Alexis, she does a tremendous job on this front. All the odds that you see on the screen, she does a tremendous job of making sure that those are up to date. So big thanks to Alexis. She does an incredible job. And then you've got everything with regards to the audio side of things, whether you're listening on SiriusXM channel 158. You might be listening after the fact as well. Every single show, or every single hour of every single show, it is available in podcast form over at vsiN.com/podcast or wherever you hear podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, list goes on and on. You want to go to the VSiN Bets Beds feed for this show. And Chris, he does an incredible job making sure that everything is all crisp and clean there. So big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. They are the best in the business. And because they do such a great job, I need to be on point with my picks. And right now, by the way, personally, sweating out these late games that started out 7-0 with regards to write-ups. Looking like things might go a little bit more sour in terms of this Giants versus Miami Marlins game. So we need some Giants runs there. But you know what? What has been giant has been what we've been seeing in the NBA over the last few days. Lots of moves being done by the Boston Celtics. When I was on the show yesterday, we were just seeing the news that they had traded away Jrue Holiday, a big part of that title run that they made two seasons ago. Now they trade away Kristaps Porzingis, and we were talking about it in our number one, Nick Whalen. He does great work here at the network, also does great work over at RotoWire as well. We were discussing the fact that we have to think that this is just a little bit of a salary dump, for lack of a better term, for them. And with the Atlanta Hawks, they do get Kristaps Porzingis in what is a very open Eastern Conference. And I do think that they are a team of intrigue. I just don't know if I can feel bullish about a team led by Trae Young. Maybe I just have trust issues there, but that is something that scares me off just a little bit on that front. But I mean, still, you do have yourself a team in the Atlanta Hawks that is out there in an East where, what do we make out of it? Like, I think that the Cleveland Cavaliers are the best team out East. Right now, their odds to be able to win the title are tied with that of the New York Knicks, plus 850. If I had to choose between those two short shots out East, I would certainly be taking the Cleveland Cavaliers. I just don't know about the bench of the New York Knicks. The coaching search, very fascinating to say the least there. You figure when they let go of Mr. Tibbs that they had someone in mind. Apparently, they did not. Or maybe they did have something in mind and they just fumbled. I don't know what happened there, but it happened. So good on the New York Knicks on that front. But Certainly that's of intrigue. And then you've got the other teams out east in terms of shortest odds to be able to win the title. Right now, the Boston Celtics, they went from when I was doing the show yesterday, right around 16-1 post the Porzingis trade, now are at 20-1. They're tied with the Orlando Magic. So they're a team of intrigue. Right now with the Atlanta Hawks, they're still a rather lengthy shot to be able to win the title, 120-1. Would not be sprinkling there, but if you're looking for a team that maybe they can make the playoffs, maybe they can be like a 5 seed, avoid the play-in, I do think that that's very realistic for the Atlanta Hawks. You've got Richichet, who they were able to pick up in the draft with the number one overall pick. They've done a nice job being able to mix and match down low as well with Trae Young. Again, it feels like he could shoot you into a game, he could shoot you out of a game. He's hot, he's cold, he's up, he's down. You never know what you're going to get there, but I do think that that's a very big intrigue there. And then I also think that this move, it went a little bit under the radar, and from a betting perspective, you don't talk too much about it, because with Kyrie Irving, he signs a 3-year deal with the Dallas Mavericks. He restructured that and he got it on the books for 3 years, $119 million, and he declined his $43 million player option. But what that does is the Dallas Mavericks were probably going to have about maybe $2 million in cap space, so they didn't have a lot of flexibility there. Now they should be able to have enough cap flexibility to be able to offer someone more of a mid-level exception. So that does free things up just a little bit for the Dallas Mavericks. And who says that the Dallas Mavericks can't be able to make a run? We're going to see them draft on Wednesday night, Cooper Flagg, number one overall. If they don't draft him number one, that's because they traded the pick, because if there's someone not named Cooper Flagg picked number one overall, I really don't know what to tell you. Then we are going to have pigs flying across the studio. But that said, with this Dallas Mavericks team, even though the trade was less than savory of Luka Doncic, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You go from making the finals to trading away a guy that is arguably a top five player in the league, that's less than tremendous. You still have the pieces of what should be a solid team. Now, the biggest thing that's holding them back is the Western Conference in general, because it's all sort of so brutal with the OKC Thunder being the OKC Thunder. I recognize that the Golden State Warriors are old, but you still have the Golden State Warriors out there. I think that these San Antonio Spurs are going to be rock solid. The one team that I look at in terms of having the most value on the futures market is the Denver Nuggets as well, getting them at north of 10-1, having the number one player, in my opinion, on the face of planet Earth right now, Nikola Jokic. That's something that appeals to me. Still have a lot of that base that is still there from the title from a few years ago. So, that's a team that I think is going to be tough as well. But down low, you're about as solid as it gets when Anthony Davis is healthy. And that's a big if. If fifths were fifths, we would all be drunk. And man, yeah, those ifs have not come through for Anthony Davis, but he and Derek Lively down low are a good 1-2 punch. Obviously, I have Kyrie Irving on the books for this team. They've got Klay Thompson on the books. Brandon Williams is a guy that I think could be able to ascend for them a little bit. And then you add in their Cooper Flagg. This team is going to have a lot of size and a lot of versatility. So do think that there's some intrigue there. So a lot that is happening in the NBA. We do have to turn it forward to games that are actually going to be happening on Wednesday, though. Now, we do have the NBA draft going down. Can't tell you that I have a ton on the NBA draft, just because foregone conclusion with regards to first two overall picks. It's all very much information based. It does feel like Jeremiah Fears is rising up the board, but it's just such a unique sort of situation with what we're seeing in terms of Ace Bailey, whether or not he's going to be going in the top five, if he's going to be going outside the top five, and what the heck the Brooklyn Nets do with all those first round picks. So I've been relatively staying off of that. So we're going to be taking a look at some baseball in a section. In a second, but first things first, what we do need to be taking a look at is where the money and the bets are moving on all these games. And VSiN's betting splits, they allow you to be able to do so. You're not just seeing where the public money is going, and you get that with DraftKings. DraftKings, they show you where the general consensus is landing on these games, but we've also got the splits from Circa. And Circa is known for taking the big bets from all the professional bettors, so you're seeing the bets are really moving these lines. So you get the best of both worlds in terms of public money, along with being able to see where these big bets are coming in as well. You're able to see the percentage of bets versus the handle on every single game across every major sport, helping you make smarter and more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as low as $9.99 for your first month over at vsin.com/subscribe, vsin.com/subscribe. as it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we do dive in on a game that I think is very intriguing on this MLB Wednesday, as right now we are sweating out a few late games, and this is going to be a game that is going to be an afternooner, as we've got Nick Pivetta and Mackenzie Gore going mano a mano out there in San Diego. 903, 904 on the card right now with the Nationals. They're in that neighborhood about a plus 122 to a plus 130. That neighborhood about minus 135, minus 145 is the number on San Diego. And 8 is the total at most spots. I saw a few straight 8.5s pop onto the board earlier. Those have been completely gobbled up, and this was a game that was unavailable to me when I was doing my write-ups because we didn't know if it was going to be Nick Pivetta or not. I set my total at 7.2. I recognize that for Nick Pivetta, things have been a little bit less than savory for him in his last few starts, and for the Washington Nationals, I don't know why, but I know that Tim Murray, who does great work over at VSiN Primetime, he was talking about this a little bit as well. This is a Washington Nationals team that for some reason they can't play at home. On the road, they've been a completely different team. That bears out in their offensive numbers. They entered into Tuesday with 3.8 runs per game at home, 4.8 runs per game away from home. Now, I know that it's not some sort of like a hitter's haven out there in Washington, but it's not like some sort of a pitcher-friendly ballpark like Petco is either. And for Mackenzie Gore, he has been rock solid. He's been getting nearly 12 strikeouts per 9 innings. As a matter of fact, among qualifying National League starters, he leads National League starters in terms of strikeouts per 9 rate. But Nick Pivetta also is a guy that got away from Boston. His issue in Boston was always allowing the deep ball, allowing less than a home run per 9 innings out there in San Diego, going against a Nationals team where you've got James Wood being able to give you some good wood, 20-plus home runs. C.J. Abrams is coming into form as well. And for the San Diego Padres, it has been a relatively pedestrian lineup. Like, they've been right in the middle of the league in terms of runs per game. Interestingly, I talk about it being a pitcher-friendly ballpark. 4.6 runs per game at home, fewer than 4 runs per game away from home. So that's been of intrigue, but that's it with the Padres. If we can get more like a minus 135 or lower, I'd be looking at that money line. So we'll see where the movement is. And I do like this total under, semi-total below a 7.5. And coming up next, let's talk some MLB props for Wednesday with Michaela Bennett right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by Michaela Bennett on the Progressive Guest Line. Does great work over at Underdog Fantasy. She's based out there in the lovely Midwest. And Michaela, it is great to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Of course. Happy to be on tonight.
Great to have you aboard. And how about if we do start out in the Midwest? Because the best pitching matchup of the day, it is happening in my home state of Wisconsin. We've got Jacob Mizorowski and Paul Skeens going at it with the Pirates, neighbored about minus 120. We saw a lot of initial openers of 7 with regards to that total. Still a few straight 7s, but a lot of places are ticking down to a 6.5. How are you taking a look at this game and what should be a really nice pitching matchup?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, a pitcher's duel for sure is what I'm expecting here. You know, Skeens has a 1.85 ERA, Mizorowski a 1.64 ERA here. So I'm definitely taking the under on the runs. I think the one ever I saw, it was 7, but I'm definitely going to take under 6.5 as well. I think this could very well be a 1-0 game at the end of it, depending on like how deep these guys go and how much their bullpen is used. I think will be a really big key factor in these games. But I mean, Skeens has done a complete game. Mizorowski, you know, he's coming up. This is his third outing now, and he's been incredible. So I'm definitely going to be focused in on this game tomorrow to see what the pitcher stool is.
Oh, absolutely. And I believe that you were seeing Skeens over K-prop right around 6.5, correct?
Yes. Yep. So I'm definitely going to take that as well. Pitcher's duel, Skeens has been great. 6.5. He's had 106 strikeouts in 16 games, averaging, you know, a little over 6.6. So definitely going to take this 6.5 strikeout tomorrow with the pitcher's duel.
Absolutely, and what I've been gauging as well, and I mentioned this to you before we came on here, the Brewers averaging 3.6 runs per game entering into Tuesday at home, 5.6 away from home. So just been a thing where they have not been able to hit at American Family Field this year. So we'll see if that picks up moving forward, but that has certainly been interesting. Something else I talked about a little bit earlier on the show, I think we need to be giving Cal Raleigh, Big Dumper, a little bit more love in terms of this MVP conversation. Recognize that Aaron Judge needs to be the favorite because Aaron Judge has had an amazing season, but when you're on pace to hit 66 home runs in a season, you need to be entering into the chat, and these Mariners are going to be taking on a Twins team that they have not lost 10 out of their last of 11 games. It is not great out there in the land of 10,000 lakes. I know that you're targeting Cal Raleigh with this game as well.
I am. Like you said, he has been incredible. And I don't know if you would tell many people, like if you ask them right now, who do you think is leading the league in home runs? Everyone would say Aaron Judge, right? But it is Cal Raleigh right now, Big Dumper. And he's hitting .480 over the last week. He went 2-for-4 tonight with a double. He's had 12 hits over the last week. I'm going to take him over 1.5 total bases just for what he's doing. Again, playing at the Twins. But I think Cal, he is a top runner for MVP right now. What he's doing, especially as a switch hitter, needs to be talked about more than it is. He's doing some very impressive things right now. And I'm going to be taking that over, hammering that over 1.5 total bases tomorrow for him.
Yep, and everyone is recognizing the home runs with Cal Raleigh, but he's also got north of 375 on base as well. So I'm so glad that you point that out, because for him, it used to be he would be a home run or bust guy. This year, he's been able to up his game to be able to move the line a little bit more, be a bit more consistent in terms of getting on base. As Michaela Bennett, who does such great work over at Underdog Fantasy, joining me on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And what if we take a look at this game? Because, well, we saw one run scored in Houston on Tuesday. It was a 1-0 final with the Astros getting the job done. Now we look forward to Wednesday with it being Colton Gordon on the bump for Houston and Zach Wheeler on the bump for the Phillies. Phillies in that neighborhood about -160, -165 on the money line. Pretty low total here of a 7.5. Take me through this game, because I think that there's a little bit of positivity coming for Gordon, but that said, with Zach Wheeler, he just has been so dominant, and since coming off the paternity list, he has been really second to none out there in the big leagues to maybe Paul Skeens.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Phillies money line here solely because Zach Wheeler is on the mound. Tonight, the Phillies did take a no-hitter into the sixth inning against Houston, and I think Zach Wheeler is arguably the Phillies' best, you know, rotation pitcher right now, going on the mound against, you know, Gordon. He hasn't been the most secure starting pitcher for the Astros right now, the most dominant. You know, he's a young guy, and so I think it's kind of like a question what you're going to get. Zach Wheeler, you know what you're going to get. So I'm going to take the Phillies in this game. We saw tonight it was a 1-0 walk-off, but I think the Phillies are going to be able to get some runs early off the young guy, and then the Wheeler is just going to be able to dominate on that side of the ball as well.
And starting to see a little bit of a haircut on that money line as well after what we saw on Tuesday. A lot of places posting up more like -155 to -160. So saving a little bit there as well. And then this is a game that I talked about a few minutes ago. The game for Tuesday just wrapping up between the Nationals and the Padres. Now they get going for an early game between old Nick Pivetta and Mackenzie Gore. Right now with the Padres in that neighborhood about -135, -140 on the money line and total of 8. And I'm not sure how you view this game, but I really think that there's going to be good pitching in this game. And I personally took a shot on the under.
Yeah, I really like this game. Mackenzie Gore, I think, has been one of the most impressive pitchers, what he's doing in terms of the amount of strikeouts he's gotten in a fewer amount of innings than the top strikeout leaders. That's something that I've really focused on some on Twitter that I put out there, but he has 123 strikeouts in 16 games. So I'm going to take the over on 6.5 strikeouts for Mackenzie Gore tomorrow against the Padres. I think this could very well be a low scoring game, but I think Mackenzie Gore could easily come out, get 7 or 8 strikeouts in this game. So I'm going to take the over of 6.5 on that one.
And to your point about Mackenzie Gore, among qualifying National League starters, he right now leads in terms of strikeouts strikeouts per nine innings, 11.9. And it's not like he's giving out a ton of walks either. He's down to below three walks per nine innings, always something that plagued him in terms of going deep in the game. So I do like that look there. And I do like this look as well. We've got ourselves the Kansas City Royals and the Tampa Bay Rays. And the Royals have just simply not hit at home this year. They're averaging 2.9 runs per game at home. I know that a lot of people accuse them of cheating at home last year. Well, if they were cheating at home last year, whatever they were doing last year, it is not happening this year because they are not knocking the ball out of the yard, to say the least. But with the Tampa Bay Rays, find them in that neighborhood of about like a minus 120, minus 125. Drew Rasmussen against Michael Wacha. Total between 8.5 and 9. And I'm not sure how you're viewing this game, but I just can't look at anything other than the under in these Royals home games right now.
Yeah, the Royals offense has been anything other than electric right now, I would say, especially at home. You know, covering them and seeing what they're doing offensively, it's just disappointing. I think they end up getting like four hits tonight, and they got one run. So definitely an under. They just can't string along enough at-bats that are good quality at-bats that are putting runs on the board. They're getting a lot of two out, no one on base hits when it doesn't matter. And Wacha's on the mound tomorrow, and I think he can have a good game, but I think the Rays are such a scrappy young team that they get bases whenever people think that they would not get bases. They have some of the fastest guys in the league that will always take the extra bases when they can get it. So I think that this is going to be an interesting game. I could see the Rays very well taking this, but I'm definitely going to take the under on the runs on this one.
Oh, I'm right there with you. And I'm not sure how you've been viewing the Rays, but this is a team in the American League because it feels like it's very open. The Tigers right now have the best record, but I mean, they've got a little bit of shakiness. I think that if there might be a little bit of a dark horse to dethrone either the Yankees or the Tigers, I certainly think that it could be the Rays with just all of their bullpen pitching and a very surprising offense.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. You know, the AL has been an interesting league right now. I think the AL Central is, you know, the Tigers for the taking, and the Royals aren't really going to be a contender. So it'll be interesting what they do at the deadline. But the Rays are a young, scrappy team right now, and I think they could very well be the dark horse, like you said, to come up and get a wild card spot. That division is tough, but, you know, I think the Rays kind of control their own destiny right now, and getting healthy and making sure that they have all the young guys ready to perform at their best. And I think that they could really take, honestly, I could think that they could take the sweep in Kansas City. Wouldn't necessarily love to see that for the Royals, but I think it's very well capable of the Rays to do that this week.
Yep, and with Drew Rasmussen on the bump for Wednesday, I like him in that spot as well. And then this one is interesting. We saw the Gong Show go down on Tuesday out there in St. Louis, and now it's Eric Fetty going up against Matthew Boyd. This total is 9, and the Cubs right around minus 120 to minus 130 favorites. Want to get your thoughts here because it's one of the best rivalries that you're going to find out there in the Midwest, and I've been quite impressed by Matthew Boyd this season.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the Cubs on this one. You know, they had a very impressive outing tonight. Nolan Arenado made a great play in the top of the ninth to close the game out for St. Louis and get the win. But the Cubs were threatening, and I think the Cubs with the pitching matchup tomorrow have it more on their side. They are a contender. I think that they are going to be a very deep playoff, or make a very deep playoff run this year. And the Cardinals are a young team, but I'm definitely going to take the Cubs money line on this one tomorrow.
Yep, and the Cubs absolutely slugging the ball out of the yard over the last few games as well, going back to their series against the Mariners. And Michaela, you always knock it out of the park as well. You do a great job over at Underdog Fantasy and always do appreciate it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for the time. Have a good night.
Always great to be able to get Michaela aboard. And coming up next, she mentioned a few games of intrigue. And how about if we do hit that Phillies versus Astros game right here on Cashin' Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Michaela Bennett in the last segment, taking a look at some MLB props that we've got on Wednesday. And she was bringing up a game that I think is very intriguing between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Houston Astros. So thought that this would be a good time to be able to break that game down. As if you took a look at the game on Tuesday, not a lot of scoring out there. That was a 1-0 slog where the Astros, they were able to get the job done. Cooper Hummel, a solo home run off of Ranger Suarez, was the lone run of the game. And I did think they were going to see a little bit more than one run because, well, you can't have any less than one run plated if you have a complete game of baseball. But that said, let's take a look at this pitching matchup. This is the game on the bottom of the board, 929-930. And it is Zach Wheeler who's going to be going for the Phillies. And right now it is Colton Gordon on the bump for the Astros. And with the Astros in that neighborhood, about a +138 to +140-ish. And the Phillies, they were in the neighborhood about -160 to -165 in a lot of spots. We're starting to see that tick down here at Circa. It's a -154, and if you're looking to lay a run half with the Philadelphia Phillies, you'll be able to get that at a +110, and that's where I am looking. I am looking on that run line, anything of a +110 or better. That would be my just sort of vantage point there with Zach Wheeler. He has been tremendous since coming off the paternity list. 3 starts, he has given up 3 earned runs or fewer in every one of them. As a matter of fact, 2 runs or fewer in all 3 of them. Has just been mowing them down. 11.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, gives up fewer than 2.5 walks per 9, had a little bit of a hard contact issue towards the beginning part of the season, but just in watching Zach Wheeler in the past, typically like the first 2-3 starts of the season, he needs to figure a few things out. He's been able to do so, and now he's back in peak form, so that's been big for him. And then on the flip side, you've got a guy in Colton Gordon that I think he's doing for a little bit of positivity. Did give up the deep ball a little bit in his previous start, and he's been solid in terms of not beating himself, for lack of a better term. He's giving up fewer than 2.3 walks per 9 innings. His strikeouts per 9 rate in that neighborhood about 9 or so. So I do think that he's got a little bit of a bright future. Again, last start goes out there against the Athletics, and he gives up a little bit too much hard contact, so that was a bit of an issue for him. But all in all, I do think that there's a bit of upside there. Gave up a pair of home runs in that start, but what else I do like about the Houston Astros, this bullpen. The bullpen of the Astros has been in the top 8 in the big leagues in terms of ERA. The likes of Steven Okert, Bennett Sosa, Brian King, Brian Abreu, Josh Hader, all being able to give you a sub-335 ERA has been big, and that is the trepidation that you've got with the Philadelphia Phillies. This is a Phillies bullpen that has Orion Kerkering, who's giving you a sub-2.5 ERA, and then everyone else really north of a 3.5. They're now trotting out their Taijuan Walker in long relief. Joe Ross has been great. Matt Stroman's had a surprisingly ho-hum sort of rough season as well. So he run a little bit of risks there. And then with not having Bryce Harper out there in the lineup as well, he's still on the injured list. That means that you've only got one guy in the roster with a double-figure amount of homers. Now, that guy is very obvious in Kyle Schwarber. What he's been able to do this year has been absolutely tremendous. North of a .350 on base, 24-plus bombs out of him. But then you do have guys that are able to move line. The likes of a Trey Turner, Nick Castellanos, guys like this, a north of a .280, Alec Bohm as well. They've been able to do a better job. And you've got JT Realmuto, who got off to a relatively rough start to the season, but is hitting above a .300 over the last like 3 or so weeks. So he's been able to do a nice job holding it down on that front. But well, on the flip side for the Houston Astros, this has been a lineup that has been in the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of runs per game. Isak Paredes has really been able to mash at home. Just those Crawford boxes, the ballpark dimensions in general, with him being a bull hitter, has allowed him to hit 16 home runs this season. You've got quite a few guys that they're finding way on, like Jose Altuve, Jeremy Pena, two guys that were a part of some of their World Series runs. They've been able to do a nice job there. But you do have Yennier Diaz, Christian Walker in the middle of that lineup, hitting for less than a .290 on base. That has been a little bit rough for this bunch. I do, though, think that for Zach Wheeler, he goes out there, lends a relatively solid start. And I do think that a Phillies team that, other than Schwarber, that hasn't necessarily had a lot of power, I think that some of these guys start to wake up just a little bit more. I did set the Phillies at a +108 on the run line, so here at a +110, I'm going to take a shot. I'm did make my total a 7.9. Do think that there might be a little bit of regression with Zach Wheeler. Wheeler always typically a little bit higher with his ERA and his hard contact numbers away from home rather than at home. So do like the over, and I do like the run line here of the Philadelphia Phillies. Says it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And something else I like is the number one, as you're able to find that with First Bet. You want to get in on the action. First Bet has you covered with a bit of everything. Sign up now for exclusive promotions and bet hundreds of horse races every single day all across the planet right from your phone or computer. That's over at the number one stbet.com. Utilize the promo code of VSIN200, VSIN200. That's scores you a 20% rebate on all of your wagers for the first 60 days up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting over at firstbet.com today, as it is myself, Greg Eubes Peterson, holding it down tonight. And how about if we take a look at a game that has the most demonstrative money line on the board? And I'm sure that you guys know where I'm going here. It is the LA Dodgers on the road against the Colorado Rockies. And even if you're looking at the run line in this game, man, it's starting to get a little bit rough there. This is 909, 910 on the board, as we got Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who's on the bump for the Dodgers, and old Chase Dolander is on the bump for the Colorado Rockies. Total on this game opened up at a 10.5. Now it's ticked up to, in pretty much all places, an 11. There might be one straight 10.5 out there, but mostly seeing 11. Right now, if you're looking to lay a run line with the Dodgers, it all depends upon your book, because some places you're laying 1.5 runs, and if you're laying a run and a half, this is getting to a minus 210 in some spots. Here at Circa, to lay 2.5 runs, you have to still lay minus 145. And yeah, that's a bit of an issue. But even if you have to lay like minus 140, minus 145 juice on minus 2.5, I'm willing to do so. Chase Dolander has actually been a pretty solid pitcher on the road. On the road, he's giving up about 1.4, 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. He's sub 450 ERA. Doesn't sound like much, but you know, that's a presentable pitcher. Not saying that he's lighting the world on fire and that he's ready to be Cy Young 2.0 or anything like that, but holding down the fort. At home, this goes to a north of a 950 ERA with 3.5 home runs per 9 innings. And he's facing the LA Dodgers. The LA Dodgers are right now averaging about 5.6 runs per game overall. Shohei Ohtani is doing Shohei Ohtani things. 26 plus home runs, north of a 380 on base. Teoscar Hernandez, Andy Páez have both been able to give you 13 plus home runs. Hernandez is up to north of 50 RBI. Will Smith is getting jiggy with it, north of 400 on base. Freddie Freeman just below a 400 on base. Like, you've got weapons upon weapons for the Dodgers. And to help you out with this over as well, the Dodgers bullpen has been a little bit shaky. You've been dealing with some injuries with Blake Treinen along with Michael Kopech just coming off the injury list. You've got Michael Kopech along with Kirby Yates just coming off the injury list. Treinen's still on the injury list. They've gotten nothing out of Broussard or Gratterall all season long. It's sort of been mix and match in that bullpen, especially with the starting pitching injuries to the likes of a Blake Snell. You've also been having Roki Sasaki out, and Sasaki isn't even throwing right now, so that's a little bit of an issue for the LA Dodgers. But you know what, I do think that Yoshinobu Yamamoto goes out there, lends a relatively solid start. We have seen him tick up a little bit with regards to the walks. He's now right around about 3 walks per 9 innings, but swing miss stuff is still there, north of 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, not allowing a lot of homers. And for the Colorado Rockies, they are averaging a little bit north of 4 runs per game at home, and a lot of that came in the months of April and early May, when you're just not getting a lot in terms of the conditions out there at Coors. And for Coors Field, it very much is dependent upon the season, because sometimes you have those snowout games in April as well. Now it's late June. Now it's getting hot out there. Now is when the ball is really flying. So I do think that Yamamoto gives up a few runs. I think that Dolander is going to be giving up a whole bunch of runs. And you do have some guys for the Rockies that are starting to give you a bit more offensively. We saw them put up like a pair of 10-run games last week against the Atlanta Braves and the Washington Nationals. And Hunter Goodman has been the main guy behind that, hanging north of 260, 14 home runs. You've been able to get good production out of Jordan Beck at home as well. Beck has been able to give you darn near 300 average at home. And Ryan McMahon, 8 home runs at home. He's got some of the most demonstrative home and road splits here to find in all baseball for any sort of hitter, hitting well north of 100 points higher at home rather than on the road. So I do think that you get a bit of a higher scoring game for the Rockies. Bullpen hasn't been the world's worst. The likes of Juan Mejia, Jake Bird, and company have been able to give you a sub 425 ERA, but do you think that the Dodgers hit it? I think that the Dodgers hit it hard. Personally, I would rather lay 2.5 runs rather than 1.5 runs, because, man, laying 1.5 at minus 210, that's still a lot of juice to be laying right there. So look at that Dodgers run line. And I did write this up for the VSiN website when it was at 10.5 with regards to the over. Still like it at an 11 as well. And something else I like is that this game is now coming onto the board, as we've got ourselves the Texas Rangers going against the Baltimore Orioles, as we do know that it's going to be Jacob deGrom on the bump for the Texas Rangers. And it looks like you're going to be getting Mr. Young, who's going to be on the bump for the Baltimore Orioles. This was a little bit of a TBD situation, because it was supposed to be at first for the Baltimore Orioles, just a little bit of a mix and match day. I was thinking it was going to be Tamayuku Sugano with it bringing Brandon Young. Yeah, it's relatively rough to say the least here. And right now, with the Texas Rangers on the road. You're going to be finding them about minus 140, minus 145 on the money line. Not a case where I want the run line, mainly because with the Texas Rangers, this team is not scoring. They put up a few runs in the game that we did see on Tuesday. But that said, I do think that Jacob DeGrom goes out there, gets the job done, is able to give you a dominant start. So going to be looking at the Rangers and the under there. And coming up next, how about if we look at a game out there in the lovely Midwest right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got ourselves a great slate of baseball that's going to be going down on Wednesday as we've got all 30 teams in action, and we've got day games. If you're much like myself, you might love some day games. There are some out there that don't, but for me, it's like, man, something to be able to get me through the day. I'm a sucker for it in all sports. Like, I feel like there should be a sporting event going on 24/7, 365. Hey, for those of you guys that like the KBO, there sometimes is, and I need to get back into the KBO. I remember I was doing it during COVID in 2020. It was always nice to be able to be up at like 2 o'clock a.m. and being like, oh, there's baseball on. I remember I was calling the KT Wiz the Smiling Blobs, and that was some good times right there. I wish that the circumstances were a little bit different with COVID going on, but still some good times regardless to be able to take a look at baseball. And it's always a good time to head to the Midwest to be able to take a look at a little bit of baseball, as well as we've got ourselves a ton of games that are going down. And that's when I feel like the money line is just a little bit too short on, and I'm actually going to take a look at the run line myself. This is the Athletics on the road against the Detroit Tigers with one Mr. Jacob Lopez going for the Athletics and Captain Jack Flaherty on the bump for the Detroit Tigers. This is 917-918 on the card, and for Jack Flaherty and company, right around minus 157, minus 170, that number on Detroit. The total is 8, and for the A's, you're going to be getting them as low as about a plus 138, as high as a plus 145, and for the A's, I felt like they should have been more like plus 190 underdogs. This has been an Athletics team that just has really struggled. Now, I will say this about Jacob Lopez. He's getting about 12 strikeouts per 9 innings. Now, that comes along with north of 4 walks per 9 innings. That comes along with 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. To go with his ERA that's hovering right around about 4.22. Fielding dependent, very much on par with that. I will say for Lopez, 2 runs of fear allowed in each out of his last 3 starts. So, he's been looking quite a bit better. It feels like he's coming into form, but now he faces off against the Detroit Tigers team that has really been doing a good job with their offense. Like, when you thought about the Detroit Tigers last year, you thought about bullpen madness, you thought about the way that they were able to do such an amazing job with their pitching. Now the offense has come along for the ride. Kerry Carpenter, Spencer Torkelson, Riley Green, all supplying at least 13 home runs. Additionally, you've got someone like a Javi Baez move line hitting north of 275. You've been able to get good production as well out of Gleyber Torres, giving you north of 375. So, I mean, really 1 through 9, this has been a rock solid team, and Dylan Dingler at the catcher spot has been supreme for the Sponge. And it has been a case where the Detroit Tigers bullpen has been a little bit more closer to league average in terms of their ERA, though. The top guys are still the top guys. Will Vez, Tommy Canley, Chase Lee, still giving you a sub-3 ERA. Brendan Hennepin and some of the guys like that have been falling down the toilet bowl a little bit, but I do still think that this is a Tigers team that has one of the better bullpens out there in all of baseball, and they might need it because Jack Flaherty, rocking north of a 4.5 ERA, he's given up darn near 1.8 home runs per 9 innings. He's coming in rough form, to say the least. A combined 15 runs allowed in his last 2 starts, but I think that Jack Flaherty is going to round into form. Now, I said that a lot for Jack Flaherty towards back half of last season. He had that really good start to the 2024 season. The Tigers trade him away, and then all of a sudden, things go down the toilet bowl for him. But I do think that things are going to be a little bit better for him moving forward. But when it comes to the A's team, still relatively good offense. Even though they got destroyed in the game on Tuesday, it wasn't because their offense didn't show up. They got 4 runs. You've got Brent Rooker, Tyler Soderstrom, both give you 14 plus home runs this season. You've had Jacob Wilson be absolutely amazing. He's hitting at 350. He's learning that you can actually draw a few walks as well. And that's very important because there was a time where he was at like zero walks for like the first almost 2 months of the season. So he's been able to round into form a little bit more there. But a big reason why I also do take a look at this total over is because I was mentioning it with the Tigers and their good offense. But I mean, along with Jacob Lopez, you get an ace team that is currently out of 30 teams in terms of their bullpen ERA. Number 30, not good. Like, I take a look at this entire team. Among guys that have made at least 8 appearances, you've got one guy that has a sub 425 ERA in this bullpen, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. Like, even Mason Miller is posting up a 5 ERA at this point. Tyler Ferguson has been anything but reliable. They're looking at JT Ginn and Juice and Oswaldo Beto to now try to give them some long innings. Like, they have no idea what they're doing in this bullpen. Grant Holman has been a little bit of a disaster. Hogan Harris has been like the only guy that has been able to give you like even a solid inning or two. And for the Detroit Tigers, I do think that they get to Jacob Lopez. I think they zoom in for a bit of regression because while Lopez is getting his strikeouts, he also gives up a lot of walks. Gives up hard contact when he doesn't get those strikeouts. I think that the Tigers go out there, get the job done. I like the Tigers on the run line. I'm right now seeing that right around about a plus 125 or so. Pretty much any sort of plus money was going to do it for me. And I do like this total over. I set my total a little bit north of an 8.5. So we'll be riding with that right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we ride with this game? Because we do have ourselves a San Francisco Giants team that lost their game on Tuesday against the Miami Marlins. And for the Marlins, they've been a very pesky team, to say the least. One that has been quite a bit better on the road rather than at home with their offense. And Edward Cabrera has actually been solid for them recently, but he's a guy that I have my trust issues with. But this guy is as rock solid as it gets at home. This is 9-11, 9-12 on the card as the Marlins are going to be on the road against the Giants with Logan Webb going for the Giants. And Mr. Edward Cabrera goes for Miami. Miami is a underdog of about plus 190 to plus 195-ish, and then about minus $2, minus 220, that number on San Francisco with a total of 7. And if you're looking to lay a run half with San Francisco, because this total is so low, you're actually getting plus money at a plus 105, and that's where I'm looking. I was willing to lay up to even like a minus 110 or so with regards to this run line as for Logan Webb. He's just so good at home. A career 264 ERA with less than 0.45 home runs allowed per 9 innings. ERA shoots up by 1.4 points full when he's away from him. And that's not a small like sample size split or anything like that. That dates all the way back to 2019. So, I mean, you've got north of 6 years worth of data for those home and road splits. And then for Edward Cabrera, he's been quite a bit better recently, posting up a sub 4 ERA. He's been able to keep the hard contact down. He still has those walks issues. So 4 walks per 9 innings, which actually like a career best for him. So that's not what you want to see. But you've also got a massive bullpen disadvantage as well for the Giants. Number one in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Randy Rodriguez, Camilo Duvall, Eric Miller, along with as well what you've been able to get out of someone like a Spencer Bivens. These guys have been all rock solid. Other than Bivens, they've all been able to give you a sub 225 ERA. And then for this Miami Marlins team, bottom 10 team in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Been able to get a little bit more out of Anthony Bender, who's been able to give you a sub 3 ERA. Calvin Fauché, who closed out the game on Tuesday, has been looking a little bit more solid, but I don't have a lot of faith in him. And now you've got a pitcher-friendly ballpark and a Miami Marlins team that they do an okay job in terms of playing station-to-station baseball. Like, Xavier Edwards has been able to give you north of 360 on base. Had a cycle last season against the Milwaukee Brewers. You've got someone like an Jesus Sanchez who's hitting a 250. Eric Waugaman finds a way on base. But, I mean, really, other than a pair of guys, and Kyle Sowers, Augustin Ramirez, both of these guys, 11 home runs apiece. Really, not a lot of guys are able to slug the ball out of the yard. And for the San Francisco Giants, this is an offense I think gets better moving forward. Willy Adames has been completely useless for the money that they're paying him right now. I'm sorry, but it has to be brought up. He has given the team 3 home runs over the last like 15 or so days, but I think less than a 215 under a 300 on base. You just expect a little bit more there. But Mike Yastrzemski giving you north of a 340 on base. I will say Casey Schmidt, he had that one bad error against the Rockies 2 weeks ago. But overall, he's been filling in admirably for the injured Matt Chapman. You're bringing Rafael Devers. He's already got a home run in a San Francisco Giants uniform. Actually came off against his former team in the Boston Red Sox. And I do think that with Eloy Ramos continuing to be able to fly for the team, north of a 350 on base, double figure amount of homers, that the Giants do a nice job taking it to a guy in Edward Cabrera that, I mean, even though he's been very solid recently, you never know when he is just going to have his command issues, knock himself out of start early, and leave a lot of exposure to what is a bad Miami Marlins bullpen. So I do like this over. I did so I told a little bit north of a 7. And with the Giants, you're able to get plus money on that run line. I'm going to be taking a look at that run line. How about if we talk about another less than trustworthy pitcher, and it's out there in the National League as well. 9-5, 9-6 on the betting board. The Braves are on the road against the New York Mets. Clay Holmes is on the bump for the Mets, and DDA Fuentes goes for the Atlanta Braves. If you can tell my confusion, I have no idea how this guy is at the big league level. Minus 140 to minus 148, that number on the Mets. Between plus 122 to plus 131 for the Braves, and I'm surprised that they gave him one start, and I'm surprised that they're giving him a second. Like, I don't know what they're seeing in DDA Fuentes that makes them think that he's ready right now. He made one start at the AAA level, and it was a solid start for AAA Gwinnett, but I mean, the guy is 20 years old. He has at the minor league level right now about a 4.80 ERA. Now, the swing of his stuff is there. He's got some upside. They've promoted him a little bit too early. First start against Miami Marlins, he gives up 4 runs over the course of 5 innings. It's just befuddling. Like, the Atlanta Braves have been a rudderless team all season long, got the job done against the Mets bullpen on Tuesday, and that's one that I was banking on. So thank you, Atlanta Braves, for helping me out there. But I mean, this is just a clear pitching mismatch. Now, I will say, for the Mets, they do have a rock solid bullpen. I think the 9.5 is a little bit too high in a pitcher friendly environment. So I did like the under, but I set the Mets north of a minus 150 favorite. I do like that money line. And coming up next, my love is that we've got a lot of basketball to talk about with the offseason moves in the NBA. We'll do so next on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.